questions is, why? What's holding you back, basically? Why won't you come? Why? This is such a great, wonderful, free salvation. Why? Why are you? Why? Just come. Come and receive that. And it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. There's a verse, 1 John 4:8, says God is love. And sometimes we immediately put that to, we start thinking about God the Father. But it's God. Is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. So when it's talking about God is love, it's all three of them. It's not just one. They're all the same and yet separate. And the Bible defines love as love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Is not easily angered, keeps no records of wrong, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, always protects, trusts, always hopes, perseveres, and love never fails. That's God the Father. That's God Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. So when we're encountering the Holy Spirit, we're encountering someone who is for us. It's not self-seeking. It's not there just for what we can get out of them. I was talking to a young person the other day, and they said one of the issues they have with some Christians, it's more like, I don't care about you, but I want you to get saved. I want you to be in the kingdom so I can feel good about myself and I've led somebody, Lord, but I really don't care about you. But that's not what the Holy Spirit cares about us. God cares about us and he wants what's best for us. When we talk about receiving the Holy Spirit, several years ago, my wife Lois and I were part of a small group over in Richwood, Ohio, from the church here. And at a home, some of you know him, Cecil and Mary Jane Schwarzentruber, is at their home. And we were over there, and this was B.C., before children. And so we were there, and that night, the regular couple who was going to lead wasn't going to be there. So they asked my wife and I to lead, and we said, okay, well, we're sort of excited but sort of nervous. This is the first time we've ever done any of this. And we didn't know what was going to happen. So we went over there, and in the small group, at that point, that small group, we had usually had some worship time. We sang. And so we were having the worship time, and this young woman was leading some songs. And it was all of a sudden, it was sort of like what Bill was hearing. It felt like all of a sudden somebody else showed up in the room. Almost, so you almost had to move. And it was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the presence of God just came in. It was like, whoa, this is something's going on here. And so we went along and we sang some songs and we just, I don't remember exactly how we got into it. We started praying for people and all this. I mean, the Holy Spirit was moving on a lot of people and God was really touching people. And so I was going to receive prayer and I know I was dealing some issues with my back and Cecil, Source Trooper, who's now with Jesus, came over and he was going to pray and a couple other people. But I thought, you know, God, if you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Because I'm not going to manufacture something. I'm not going to spice it up, get all emotional, try to work something up. You're going to do it. The only thing we need to be is open. We don't need to spice up the Holy Spirit and do things. So he started praying for me. And I was sitting there, and I know in my heart, I wasn't being disrespectful. I wanted it to be real. I wanted this to be real. And so I said, Lord, I'm not going to receive, but you're going to do it all. I mean, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to get excited about anything. I'm just going to stand here, and you're going to do what you're going to do. So I was standing there, and I began to feel, I could feel the Holy Spirit starting to touch my back a little bit. You start feeling some things. But then I started feeling this tingling in my fingers. And I thought, okay, in some ways I was resisting because I thought, you're going to do this, God. I'm not going to help you. You know, I'm not helping you with any of this. You got to do it all. I'm not contributing anything here. And so, and I was somewhat resisting actually. Not trying to be doubtful, not trying to be deliberate, disrespectful. I just thought, I'm not helping you, you know. And so then I felt all this started coming down. I mean, now I just felt this electricity. It was like being, you ever been shocked? It felt like being shocked. And it started coming down and actually went into my face, went into my mouth, my tongue, I couldn't even talk. And the next thing, after about 5 minutes of this, I was actually on the floor in a fetal position, and I couldn't move. I wanted to move, but I couldn't move. And I felt like God just basically said, you want me to do it? I'll do it. Bam, there, squish. And I remember we were standing there, and after a while, different ones were praying around the lower level of the house. So we came back together, but I was still in the middle of the floor, and Lois realized that this person who's supposed to be helping her lead is incapable of doing this. And so all I could see was the feet, and so they decided to start singing some more. And so they were singing, and I was in the middle of the floor, and then Cecil came over, and all I could tell was I could hardly talk, but I told him, just get me out of here. And so he dragged me out to another room. So the Holy Spirit is quite capable of moving if we let him. And we don't need to add spices. I mean, he can move and he can do. All we need to be is open to what he wants to do. How well do you know yourself? The Bible says that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Bible says that we have, that God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows God, and therefore the Holy Spirit knows God's plan for you. Why God created you. The Holy Spirit knows that. The Holy Spirit knows his intentions. There's a scripture in Psalms that talks about being, I think I got it on here. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you believe this? Do you believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? Changes your perspective of life. If you believe you're just a worthless loser, it's going to change your how you live. But if we look at this scripture and we believe this is what God said, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you look at John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life to the fullest. And if you look at Ephesians, it talks about how that you were created for good works. And this good works is noble things. This is what the Holy Spirit created, knows what God created you for this, to experience this. Now, does that mean you're not going to have troubles and things happen and all that? No. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. But he said, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. We have examples, you know, in the Bible. Peter, the Apostle Peter, was a fisherman who was basically afraid of people in some ways. He went along with the crowd. And yet the Holy Spirit, God knew the intention of Peter was to become a leader in the church, a leader on the earth. Now, if you would ask Peter when he was fishing if that was going to happen, it's like, no way. But the Holy Spirit knew that. And he began to work that. And then Jesus chose him. And, you know, and he's not the only one. There's example after example in the Bible of different ones who were just going around in life. But God knew the plan. The Holy Spirit knew the plan God had for that person. Holy Spirit knows the plan God has for you. And he loves you enough, and he's a good shepherd, that he's going to keep working that plan in you. He's going to keep working. And around about that, if you notice in Peter had circumstances happen. He had situations happen. Even after he was one of the leaders of the church, he was still influenced. That fear rose up one time that he started, and an apostle Paul actually rebuked him in front of a whole crowd because he started to become more like, well, I don't want to hang around these people because these people might think less of me. And so that was still there that he had to deal with, and the Holy Spirit had to help him overcome that. So there's several examples of that in the scripture, how God wants to bring us from and help us to know what our original intention, what was the plan he had for us, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a, if we looked at our Christian life, we can sort of feel like sometimes it could be like a sink. And most of us probably like to have a clean sink. Do you like to have a clean sink? And there's times, you know, when we think about Christian life, we don't mind if our sink may be full of clean water. You just have that sink full of clean water. But you know, no matter how much clean water, you put clean water, you fill it up. Have you ever noticed, even without you doing anything, the sooner or later that water begins to disappear? Either it might leak out, it might have something where some of it leaks out the drain, or it just evaporates. There's something about that. And the scripture, I think it's back. There's a scripture that says, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is one of the prayers that I pray for our church, pray for my family a lot. And that is that instead of saying, do not be drunk on wine, I think we could be drunk on the things of the world. We get drunk on things of life that it just intoxicates us and causes us to not be making good decisions. The word there, to be filled, actually means just to be full up. Even as you saw this, the glasses, we have a choice how full we want to be. We can be full and overflowing. The Holy Spirit can move and fill us, but it's up to us how full we want to be. There was a young woman who wrote an article for Forbes magazine. She's in her 20s. I don't know if she's Christian or not, but she had some good things to say. And she was talking about 14 things that drain us in our life. And she said, here are 14 bad habits that are easy to justify in the moment, but are hurtful in the long term. One of them was holding on to the past. Something about holding on to things in the past can drain us. Checking our email and social media all the time. Now, this is a 20-something-year-old saying this. That can actually drain you. It's like, oh, you just got to just check this. I got to find out what's going on. Constantly worrying. You ever found, does worry give you energy or does it drain you? Usually drains us. Negativity. Sleeping too much. Poor diet. Complaining. You ever been around somebody who complains? Does it give you energy or does it drain? It drains. Not following through, not doing what you said, being a passenger in life. Basically, she said, being a passenger in your own life and career makes you feel like you're tagging along on your own life. Seize control and get in the driver's seat. Overthinking something, gossiping and participating in drama. You ever been around drama? Drama's wearing. I mean, and gossiping, that doesn't do anything for us. It just drains us. Unhealthy relationships. And lastly, is trying to please other. So how do we stay filled with the Holy Spirit? How do we stay? The word again, filled, means just to make full. Should be full and overflowing. How do we keep a life like that? Well, one, in Jude chapter 1, because there's only one chapter in Jude, in verse 21, it says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying is so vital to us staying filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know, we might think we got this concept of what prayer looks like. Prayer is you talking with God. And you know where you can do that? Can you do that if you leave here today? Can you do it from here, driving to your house? Can you do it maybe at home or at the restaurant? What about a football game? No? No. You can pray any place. And it's that constant communion, that constant knowing that I can talk with God, that helps bring that sense of being filled with the Spirit. Another one is in John 6:63. Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. So the Word of God, being in the Word of God. And I was talking to someone this week and I was telling them, you know, sometimes we have this concept that we got to, you know, read chapters and chapters and chapters and chapters for it to do any good. Well, that's good if you want to do that. But if just being in the Word of God at all, it's a light. It brings life to us. Every day, just starting with the Word of God, whatever that means to you. I told about this person, I said, I remember when I first got saved, I read this book about Christian foundations and things you're supposed to do. And this person was talking about you should read 20 chapters a day and memorize 10 to 20 verses a day. So I did that for a while, for about 3 months or so. And I thought, something's not right here. It's taking a lot. I got through the Bible like that. But it's like, you know, so you have to find out what works for you. It's a relationship. It's not a military basic. It's a relationship. What is between you and God? But, you know, in any relationship, there has to be communication. There has to be something happens. It's not all God. It's our part too. So if I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, God is willing for that to happen. But what am I doing on my part? And I would tell you, one of them is pray. Be a person of prayer. Second, be a person of the Word. You're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit much at all if you're not doing at least those two things. And it's not by works. So just because this person prays an hour a day and is in the Word a day doesn't mean they're more Spirit-filled than this person over here that prays maybe 5 or 10 minutes a day and maybe reads a few verses a day. It's a heart issue. It's not a works issue. Another few things, which is being a person of forgiveness. You want to stop being filled with the Holy Spirit? Start having unforgiveness in your life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Tells us to watch over our heart. Guard your heart," it says, "for out of it flows the springs of life." So watching that heart, watching what's going on. Is there fruit of the Spirit happening? Have you ever heard of yeast? Anybody ever used yeast in something they made? And yeast, they says spread. You really have to watch what yeast is going into your life because it's going to spread. What attitudes, if there's sin, false doctrines. Apostle Paul said that since we live, in Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with Spirit. You ever watched a parade or people marching? And you ever seen somebody out of cadence, out of step? I mean, you can notice. Well, that's what that basically means. It means stay in step with the Holy Spirit. How do we stay in step with the Holy Spirit? By listening. By paying attention to what he's doing and flowing with others. You know, sometimes when we have our sink, we can experience that. Anybody ever put dirty dishes in the sink? Yeah, and they can get piled up. Well, sometimes people put dirty dishes in your sink. Sometimes you put dirty dishes in your sink. You know, sometimes I do that. And that is something I watch and say, Lord, what's going on? And what I need to, not that this doesn't happen. We're around people in life. Life happens. But what do we do with those dishes? What do? Can we have a clean sink again? Yes, we can have a clean sink again. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, to make her holy, this is talking about the Christ and the church. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. There's the word again. Another powerful thing for us to be filled with the Spirit is a thing called repentance. Now, religion has made repentance almost a bad thing. It's almost like it's a bad thing. I'm going to repent. Oh, it's a bad thing if you repent. Repentance is one of the healthiest things we can do. All the word repentance means is change your mind. Do something that's different, that's go the right way. Change your mind. That's all it means. And the scripture says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, patience, not really realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. As Steve was sharing earlier, I thank God that he's kind to me, that he's patient with me until I repent of things that happen. I thank God for Lois is kind to me and patient with me until I repent for things that I shouldn't be doing. So there's a point of that. There's, you know, when we talk about refreshing, there's a verse in Isaiah 40:31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what is the key to those last part? What is the key to mount up on wings like eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint? What's the key there that said? What's the word? Starts with W. Wait. to wait on the Lord. That word wait means to hope, to trust. That I'm trusting in God, that God, no matter if I got a sink full of dirty dishes, no matter what's going on in life, that if I trust in you and I hope in you, I'm going to be renewed. I'm going to receive that. So there's a sense of our focus, what we're focusing on, that we're not focusing on a blank piece of paper. That's just, we're putting our hope in people and money and finances and jobs and the world and our government and whatever else happens. But our hope is in him. There's a scripture, this last scripture I was shared today. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:3. Starts with 3:2, says, "You yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Can we have a musician come on up, please? There's a lot of people, whether you believe it or not, there's people who read your letter of your life. People are reading it. Some of them might really pay attention a lot, some of them may not. It's like Bill was sharing, just there. People know. I think we don't give credit sometimes enough for people, how much people are aware of God and of life and what's going on in life. Sometimes I know there's just a hardening that happens. A lot of times people harden their heart because they don't want to know. They don't want to deal with those issues. Sometimes they're just afraid, they don't know how to deal with them. But he called us to be a letter out there to people from God saying, come. You know, our mission statement is come, grow, and go. The word come means that we believe we're supposed to welcome people just as God welcomed. Aren't you glad that God is like this to every single person? From the person you could think is the worst person ever. You know what God is like? Come. Come. The person you might hate, that kind of person, or something they deserve, whatever. God is saying, come. And that's what we believe the Holy Spirit wants each one of us to be. To say, come on. God wants to know you. God has something for you. He has realness for your life. We go ahead and stand. There's a couple of things I just want to welcome. First of all, we're going to take a moment. Just welcome the Holy Spirit to fill us up afresh. And also welcome that cleansing that happens, that we need just that cleansing to go on. And to allow him to say, Lord, I just want to allow you to continue to write on my heart. Write on me whatever you want. Write that plan, that wonderful, how I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Just write that out there. Write that plan of the abundant life. Write whatever you want, God. Whatever you want, that people can read this life and be drawn to you. That's what the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to draw people to Jesus. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit. It's not that they can see me or you. It's that they can see Jesus. Because you know, when it all comes down to it, that's where the bottom line is. It's Jesus. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love and your kindness and your goodness, that you're a good shepherd and that you came and gave your life for us. And you said, whoever wants to receive that eternal life, whoever wants to be forgiven of their sins, whoever wants to receive the Holy Spirit, we just put our trust and belief in you and receive all that you've done for us. We thank you for that, Jesus. And we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, here afresh on each one. We thank you, Lord, for every person. It's not a matter if they're standing on the stage or what they've done today, if they served or they're here or they're listening. It's the first time. We thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, your desire is to fill them, fill us. We welcome that freshness of understanding what it means to be filled with you, God, what it means to walk with you, what it means to be in relationship with you. We ask, Lord, that you continue to write the letter of our destiny in our life, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. You know. We have our thoughts of what we want to do and be, but Lord, you know all the potential. We welcome and release potential, Father. We just release potential of you, Holy Spirit, in each one of all you called us to be. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
I'd like to invite the personal ministry team to come forward. They're going to be up here to pray.